Chapter 21. A nasal Bith voice keened in anguish somewhere in the middle of the exquisite death's frigid hold, and Jaina knew Yulaha was in the jaws of the Voxen again. Like the rest of the strike team, Jaina sat facing a wall of red Yorick coral, bent uncomfortably forward with her elbows between her knees, her ankles and wrists fastened to the floor by gummy masses of blorash jelly. She was barely clothed and filthy and in too much pain to care, though she did wish it were not so cold. She was shivering, and shivering made everything hurt more. Yulaha screamed again, and Alima Rar, sitting next to Jaina in much the same condition, mumbled something through swollen lips. Jaina, who was having trouble collecting her thoughts after the Voxen screeched in her face, recalled something about teamwork and opened her emotions to her companions. Immediately she felt Jason weaving them into a single entity, calling upon their mutual confidence and fellowship to lend strength to their suffering comrade. Though everyone except Ganner, who was being held somewhere else in the mistaken belief that he was the group's leader, had faced the breaking at least once, Duman Yacht kept returning to Yulaha, allowing the Bith just enough time to drop into a Jedi healing trance before awakening her to begin again. Poor Yulaha had been to the center of the hold so many times that the others were attempting to prolong their own sessions to buy time for the Bith to recover. Jaina recalled dimly that she had managed only one answer before an angry Duman Yacht pushed her at the creature's face, drawing the compressed wave screech that had blasted her into unconsciousness. When Yulaha's cries grew quiet, Duman Yacht said, "Growing accustomed to the drool, are we, big head?" His favorite torture was to place Yulaha's wound beneath the Voxen's acid-slavering jaws. "We shall have to try something new." Yulaha screamed. Jaina struggled to look over her shoulder, but could turn only far enough to see Anakin, Jason, and several others straining to do the same. For her, that was the worst part of the breaking, the listening to friends scream without knowing what was happening to them. She felt Jason drawing upon her concern to reinforce the Bith. Yulaha's scream grew a little less visceral, and Duman Yacht sensed the change. He always sensed the change. "You don't have to tell me where to find the Jedi base," the Yuuzhan Vong said. "Just admit there is one." Yulaha's scream returned to its anguished pitch, and this time Jason seemed unable to relieve the Bith's distress. Jaina looked to her other side, where Errol Besa sat stiff-bodied and wide-eyed, the victim of a neural tail shock, a Voxen attack form they had not known about, until Duman Yacht suggested that Errol experience it. After a moment, Jaina finally caught the other woman's eye and raised her brow. Errol frowned in puzzlement, then seemed to understand and shook her head. The daughter of a fanatic space racer, Errol had been conceived and born on a long cross-galaxy run, then spent most of her childhood speeding up and down the mapped arms of the galaxy. Somewhere along the way, she had developed the ability to tell by the texture of the Force where she was in the galaxy at any given moment. It was her job to alert Anakin once they were safely behind Yuuzhan Vong lines, where they would be far less likely to run into space mines and curious picket ships. Unfortunately, it was taking longer to cross the war zone than anyone expected. Perhaps, Jaina suspected, because Duman Yacht hoped to make a name for himself by returning to his masters with the location of the Jedi base. "What harm is there in admitting it?" Duman Yacht asked. "The Yuuzhan Vong already know of its existence. Just admit what we already know, and you can rest. You can go into your healing sleep."
"There is no base."
"No, don't lie." Duman Yacht's voice remained as eerily calm as always. "Give me your hand. I want to tell you about the neuropoison." An involuntary whistle of terror escaped Yulaha's nasal cavities, but she said nothing. Jaina imagined the commander holding the Bith's hand over the sensory bristles along the Voxen's back, for Silgall had detected a powerful neurotoxin coating the spines. There would be an antidote in the equipment pod, but it was as untested as the rest of the inoculations and anti-venoms she and Teckley had administered before the strike team's departure. "Your skin is so thin, and the tiniest puncture would inject the poison," Dumagnac said. "Our shapers claim the effect is not the same on all species. Some fall into convulsions and sink into an endless sleep of pain. Others weaken over many hours, slowly growing so feeble they can no longer breathe or swallow. Some drown in their own saliva." In the silence that followed, Yolaha's pain and fear grew heavy in the force. Jaina opened herself to both sensations, hoping to ease her comrade's burden by taking some upon herself. But she was too frightened to be of much help. Bith had only one lung, and the Kufi attack aboard the Lady Luck had pierced Yolaha's. If she had to fight a neurotoxin as well, Jaina wanted her to admit the existence of Eclipse. She couldn't help it. She just did not want to see Yolaha die. No sooner had she given thought to this emotion than she felt a flood of similar feelings from the others. Jaina knew that persuading Yolaha to admit the planet's existence was only the first step of the breaking. But what harm was there, really? The strike team would be seizing the ship soon, and at least Yolaha would still be alive. She felt a flash of alarm from Alima, and a certain bewilderment from the Barabels, but there was no doubting the general feeling of the group. They agreed. "Big Head, you must think carefully before you answer," Dumagnac said. "This may be your last chance. Is there a Jedi base?" "Tell him," Jaina wanted to scream.
"You know the answer," Yolaha gasped.
"I am sorry, Big Head. That is not good enough."
"Say it."
"Yes," Yolaha cried. The group let out an emotional sigh of relief, but now Alima seemed worried and the Barabels sad.
"Yes, what?"
Duman demanded.
"Yes, there is a Jedi base," Jaina said, yelling into the wall. "She admitted it. Now let her rest."
"Jaina, be quiet," Alima hissed. "He's trying to break."
The admonishment was interrupted by a hollow crack, and Jaina looked over to see a Yuuzhan Vong warrior holding the butt of an amphistaff over the Twi'lek's unconscious form. There was a surge of anger from the other Jedi, but Jaina felt only guilt. It had been her outburst that prompted Alima to speak without permission. Dumagnac said something in his own language, and the guard tossed a small button-shaped beetle on the floor beside each of Jaina's wrists and ankles. The Blorash jelly released its adhesive hold on her flesh and slid away to encase the struggling insects. The guard jerked Jaina to her feet and spun her toward the center of the room, where the commander stood holding Yulaha's hand over the Voxen's sensory bristles. The Bith's normally pale skin had gone translucent with blood loss, and she was so weak that a Yuuzhan Vong warrior had to hold her up. The rest of the strike team sat along the edge of the small hold, partially clothed, filthy, and facing the walls. Only Ganner, whose presence they sometimes sensed forward and sometimes not at all, was absent. Dumagnac studied Jaina, then asked, "You think I do not keep my word?" Jaina fixed her eye on Yulaha's hand.
"That remains to be seen."
The commander seemed confused by her challenging tone, then recovered and smirked.
"Very well. You are the one in control here."
He said something to the guard holding Yulaha, who returned the injured Jedi to her place next to Teckley, laying the Bith on her back instead of the uncomfortable sitting position in which everyone else was bound.
"The Bith may rest and heal,"
Dumagnac smiled at Jaina, "and you will determine how long." Jaina began to feel sick and frightened, but forced herself to raise her head and step forward without being summoned. Warm feelings of encouragement and confidence flooded into her as the others reached out to prepare her for the breaking. She felt fairly confident that Dumignacht would not let the Voxen kill her. He had already bragged to her about the place he had been promised at the great sacrifice. So she saw every reason to think that with her companion supporting her, she could buy Yulaha enough time to enter a healing trance and stabilize her wounded lung. But Jaina's confidence was not enough to keep her from trembling as she approached. Only the strength flowing to her through the Force had prevented her from wailing like an infant the first time Dumignacht tried to break her, and this time would be worse, much worse. The commander could not allow her to challenge him and succeed, and there were so many ways he could hurt her without killing her, so many things to remove or disfigure or break. A fresh surge of confidence buoyed Jaina up as Jason relayed Anakin's resolve to keep her healthy, Zek's admiration of her bravery, Yulaha's weary gratitude, Tekle's calm assurance that all of their injuries could be repaired. She stopped before Dumignacht and looked up into his face.
"I hope you don't expect me to thank you."
He soured her stomach by clasping the back of her neck. "No need." He guided her to the Voxen's head. Though the creature's malicious hunger rippled through the Force with a carnal urgency, the thing seemed very much the master of its instincts, quivering with excitement, yet keeping its yellow eyes fixed on its master to await his command. Dumignacht paused a meter from its jaws, turning Jaina to watch the beads of sour-smelling drool as they dripped from the Voxen's fangs and landed, smoking, on the floor. Jaina swallowed. Her back was covered with thumb-sized circles where the drops had fallen the time before. She started to kneel. Dumignacht's hand tightened, holding her up. "That is not what I was thinking." He guided her past the Voxen to the wall where her brothers sat affixed to the floor. "Choose."
"What?"
Jaina felt the shock of his demand not only in the hollowness of her own stomach, but in the stunned outrage coming to her through the Force.
"Choose what?"
"You are the one in control, Jaina Solo. Who will be next?" He kicked first Anakin in the kidneys, then Jason. "Your brother or your twin?"
"They're both my brothers."
In Jaina's shock, it registered only vaguely that Dumignacht now realized her relationship to Jason.
"And I choose neither. I choose me."
Dumignacht shook his head. "That is not your choice. You must choose Anakin or Jason." Again he kicked them, drawing involuntary groans from both. "Choose one, or I will be forced to return Yulaha to the breaking. The War Master knows of her wound, so no one will think anything of it, should she happen to die. You are the master now, Jaina Solo." Jaina felt a surge of anger and would have whirled on Dumignacht to attack, had a flash of alarm from her brothers not brought her up short. Each wanted to be the one chosen. She would have felt that much from her brothers even without the group's emotional bond. And her tie to Jason went farther yet. She could sense that, for him, it was more than a matter of being noble. But he had good reason to believe himself the best choice. Jaina suspected those reasons included the fact that Anakin would need a clear head when the time came to escape. It had to be soon, she hoped. But she could not be certain. Even the bond between the twins was not strong enough to share complete thoughts. "Your choice?" Dumignacht demanded.
"You can't ask that," Jaina said.
She told herself that as facilitator of the battle meld, Jason was just as important as Anakin, but the truth was that she could not bring herself to harm either one. Though Anakin was a war hero and leader to everyone else, he would always be a little brother to her, someone to look after, protect, keep out of trouble. And Jason had always been her best friend, the person who understood her when she did not understand herself, the presence that enveloped her like a second skin.
How could she send either of them?
She looked away from Dumanyacht.
I can't choose.
No. His hand tightened on the back of her neck, and he started to pull her away.
A pity for the Bith, then.
Anakin craned his head around. Jaina, you can choose. The weight of the Force was behind his words, not as much to compel her as to make clear that this was an order. You can choose me.
Jaina's connection to the others diminished as Jason withdrew into himself. He looked toward their younger brother.
Anakin, be quiet, Jason. Anakin continued to stare at Jaina. Choose.
Dumanyacht looked at her expectantly.
The Bith will probably die anyway, you know.
Jaina closed her eyes.
Anakin, she said. Take Anakin.
Dumanyacht nodded to the guard standing behind her brothers, then said something to another standing beside one of the gelatinous membranes that covered the hold doorways. The warrior tickled the membrane until it drew aside, then disappeared into the next room with a thin smile of anticipation. Instead of returning Jaina to her place on the wall, Dumanyacht forced her to stand beside him as Anakin was secured to the floor face down. The commander summoned his pet forward and began to give orders, and for the next quarter hour Jaina was forced to watch. Bolstered by the support of the strike team, Anakin never cried out. Eventually even Dumanyacht clucked his tongue in admiration.
"He takes pain well, your brother," the commander said. "Perhaps we try something new, yes?"
He barked a command, and the Voxen held a foot over Anakin's back. The sharp claws were coated in green slime, the medium, Jaina knew, for the retroviruses that flourished in the thing's toe pads.
"Is that fear in your eyes, Jaina Solo?" Duman asked. "Then there is no need to tell you about the fevers. You know what will become of your brother if he is scratched."
"You wouldn't disappoint your priests."
As Jaina spoke, she reached out to the others, sharing with them the uncertainty her brave words concealed. The vaccine Silgal had given them was untested. It might destroy all the diseases, or only some, and she was not happy about experimenting with her brother's life.
"Not when they have promised you a place at our sacrifices."
"True, but think of my place if I could tell them in which region the Jedi base is located," Dumanyacht said. "I would be only a few tiers behind the War Master, close enough so that you could see the gratitude in my eyes."
An overwhelming sense of defiance came to Jaina. Anakin's feelings on the matter, no doubt, as relayed by Jason.
"You'll just have to watch from the back,"
Jaina retorted. Dumanyacht's hand tightened on her neck.
"You believe I won't do this?"
He whistled sharply, and the Voxen raked its claw down Anakin's back. Jaina felt a shock through the Force, but somehow her brother still did not scream.
"You overestimate your brother's value," Dumanyacht said. "The priests will be happy as long as I return with you and Jason. You two are the twins."
He said the word twins as though it were some sort of state secret. There was something there Jaina did not understand, but it hardly mattered. One way or the other, she and Jason were going to disappoint both Dumanyacht and the priests. The guard who had been sent out earlier reappeared at the hold door. Dumanyacht had a pair of guards lay a lump of Blorash jelly over the Voxen's two rear feet, trapping the creature in place. They moved Anakin well beyond the Voxen's reach and secured him to the floor by a single foot. This was something new, and Jaina did not like the look of it.
"What are you preparing, a stare-down?"
Dumanyacht cracked a smile. "In the manner of speaking, yes."
He nodded to the door guard, who stood aside and stretched the membrane back to admit what looked like a small tree. About the size of a grown Wookiee, the plant had a small but thick crown of foliage, In the center of its trunk was a single knothole with a glassy black orb, which it turned in the commander's direction. Dumignacht pointed at the center of the hold, and the tree clumped forward on three gnarled root burls. As the thing approached, the Voxen's forked tongue flickered out to test the air. The sensory bristles rose on its back. Then it strained to curl its long body around and look behind it. The tree was about 7 meters away when the Voxen went wild, hissing madly and gouging furrows into the floor as it tried to tear itself free. The creature seemed to have lost all its intelligence, acting more like a mindless beast than the shrewd predator the Jedi had learned to fear. The tree continued to advance, and 2 meters later Jaina lost all contact with her companions. She reached out with the Force and felt nothing. Then, as the tree drew nearer and the rest of the strike team struggled to see what was cutting them off from the Force, Jaina glimpsed a lizard-like shape clinging to the back of the tree, no doubt trying to hide itself from the voracious predator clambering to get it. "Anissa Lemiri," Jaina said loudly. She was a little puzzled, for Issa Lemiri usually created a much larger bubble of Force absence. "What are you going to do with that?" "An interesting question." Dumignacht nodded to the guard who had brought the walking tree into the room. "Show her." The guard stepped forward and took the Issa Lemiri from its perch. The creature's hook-shaped claws tore small chunks of bark out of the trunk, drawing a pained leaf rustle from the tree. With a crooked ridge of vertebrae running down its gaunt back and red sores flecking its smooth hide, the Issa Lemiri itself looked half-dead. The Voxen was mad to get at it, lunging and flicking its tongue at the wary guard as he laid the thing on Anakin's shoulders. The Issa Lemiri slid down behind Anakin's back and held on. The Voxen lunged at its restraints, threatening to pull its rear legs out of socket. "The Shapers cannot understand why, but Issa Lemiri drive Voxen mad," Dumignacht said. "The Voxen lose their natural cunning. In experiments similar to this, I have seen them tear off their own legs to get the Issa Lemiri."
"Your point?"
"You know my point," Dumignacht said. "Sooner or later, the Voxen will stop trying to eat its problem and kill it." Jaina could not take her eyes off her brother. Now so coated in blood, he looked almost clothed. In the equipment pod, there was a way to make the Issa Lemiri leave the hold, of course, but Anakin and Ganner were the only ones who could activate the war droids and get at it. If they both died, the droids would automatically activate to search for strike team survivors, hardly the way Jaina wanted to deal with the problem of the Issa Lemiri. "In what region will we find the Jedi base?" Dumignacht asked. "Take all the time you wish to answer. I am in no hurry." Jaina tore her gaze from Anakin. Now she understood. In dragging Yulaha before the Voxen all those times, Dumignacht had not been trying to break the Bith. He had been trying to break the rest of the strike team. And Jaina had shown the first crack. Her body did not seem large enough to hold the disappointment she felt in herself. Lando had warned them, and she clearly had not listened. Without looking at her tormentor, she asked, "You'll release Anakin if I answer?" "If that is what you wish," Dumignacht answered. "You are the one controlling things."
"The core,"
Jaina answered. Technically, it was true, though the only way to reach it was via a short hyperlane, shaving the edge of the deep core.
"That should come as no surprise."
Dumignacht nodded. "It confirms what the readers have surmised." He nodded, and Anakin's guard tore the Issa Lemiri free, then tossed it to the Voxen. "Never deny a killer her reward."
"I'll keep that in mind," Jaina said.
As the Voxen gulped down its treat, her contact with the Force returned, and she felt a surge of support from her companions.
"What about my brother?"
"Of course. Just tell me who is next." Jaina's heart fell. She had expected something like this, and knew there was only one response.
"Me."
"Not possible."
"It's my only answer."
"Then Anakin will stay. Perhaps he will die."
You said you would release him, Jaina said. I thought you, Zhan Vong, were honorable.
The blue beneath the commander's eyes grew darker, but he turned to Anakin's guard and nodded. Return him to his place and bring the Bith.
Jaina sensed a torrent of conflicting emotions from the rest of the strike team. Some seemed frightened for Yulaha. Others supportive of her defiance. But Jason brought one feeling to the fore. Anakin's calmness and determination. He had a plan. Jaina had no idea what, but just knowing that much gave her the strength to remain silent. 3 meters from the wall, Anakin pulled out of his guard's grasp and, yelling for Yulaha to wake, sprang to her side. He dropped to his knees and whispered frantically into her ear. Yulaha's lidless eyes continued to stare vacantly at the ceiling, but a groggy hint of disappointment in the Force suggested she was more alert than she appeared. Anakin managed another half a dozen words before a guard's amphistaff slammed him in the head. He sank into a place of quiet darkness, and even the strike team's apprehension could not summon him back. The guard secured him in place with Blorash jelly, then released Yulaha and, still holding his amphistaff in one hand, dragged the Bith to the center of the hold. The Voxen tried to face them, but found its rear feet still secured, and settled for watching out of one eye. The creature seemed in control of itself again, but its hunger burned through the Force as hot as a blaster bolt. Too weak to stand on her own, Yulaha was trembling visibly and seemed unwilling to lift her gaze from the floor. Lando had said they would need to do things that sat poorly with their consciences. But Jaina could not believe he had meant standing by while the Yuuzhan Vong killed someone on their team. "The choice is yours, Jaina." Dumignacht twisted his scarified face into the semblance of a smirk. "A name or a life?" Jaina reached out to Errol Besa through the Force, praying for some sign that they had crossed the war zone, that they could finally call the war droids to blast them out of this mess. No such reassurance came. Jaina lowered her head. There was only one way to correct her mistake, only one way to defeat the breaking. But she could not bring herself to let Yulaha die, to actually speak the words that would kill her. Jaina did not look up.
"This is the last name."
"If you wish it so." Dumignac's mocking tone provoked a sense of deep humiliation. Jaina had been broken. Everyone knew. Yulaha's feeble voice came to her, and with it a sense of shame not unlike her own.
"You mustn't, Jaina. Don't let them use me."
She was silenced by a sharp smack. "The name, Jaina?" Dumignacht demanded. "Who is next?" Jaina finally raised her gaze and saw Yulaha struggling to recover her feet. The guard was practically dangling the Bith by her arm, holding her hand over the sensory bristles along the Voxen's spine. Yulaha turned toward Jason, gasped,
"Give me strength."
"Quiet." The warrior jerked Yulaha to her feet. The Force surged with encouragement, support, and something else. Something electric and raw, like the zap of a stun bolt. Suddenly, Yulaha gathered her legs beneath her. The strange energy continued to flow through the Force, and she grew stronger by the moment, pushing her hand down, down onto the sensory bristles. It was all the guard could do to keep the Bith from impaling her own palm. Jaina felt sick. Could this have been Anakin's plan? The anger spilling out of Jason made clear what he thought, but Jaina could not believe Anakin would order anyone to take her own life, not when he still felt Chewbacca's death so acutely. Yulaha proved too weak to push her hand down all the way. She appeared to give up, then snatched her captor's kufi from its sheath and flicked the blade across the Yuuzhan Vong's throat. A cascade of blood poured out. With impossible speed for one so wounded, Yulaha jerked him around and caught the Voxen's striking tail on his back. The barb snapped against the warrior's Vondoon crab armor. Dumignacht roared a command that sent half a dozen warriors dashing in. The Voxen opened its mouth to screech, and Jaina thought it was over for Yulaha. Then Jason let the battle meld drop, and she felt him reaching out, attuning himself to the Voxen's emotions,
infusing it with the idea that Yulaha's attack was only a diversion, that the real danger lay with the Yuuzhan Vong rushing in from the flank. It was a desperate gamble, one that could ruin the mission if Duman Yacht came to understand how the Jedi were playing him. Jaina expected nothing else from a Solo. The Voxen swung its head around and burped a bubble of green mucilage over the closest guard. The Yuuzhan Vong stumbled half a dozen steps more, groaning, screaming, dissolving. Yulaha used the distraction to slip forward and drive the Kufi down between the Voxen's eyes. The creature shuddered to the floor and began to convulse, and even that ceased when the Bith twisted the blade. Purple blood oozed around the wound, turning to brown fume as it contacted the air. Yulaha staggered back with a hand clasped over her face. She made a second step, then collapsed. The surviving guards stopped outside the brown cloud. Duman Yacht barked something harsh, and one warrior tossed a ball of blorash onto the Kufi knife, sealing the wound. Another covered his mouth and nose and dashed in to recover Yulaha. She allowed the guard to drag her clear of the toxin cloud, then gathered her legs beneath her and rose. Wide Yuuzhan Vong eyes and gaping Yuuzhan Vong mouths betrayed their surprise at seeing such a mangled body rise, and even Duman Yacht gasped. A familiar sissing sound from the far side of the hold, where all three Barabels were sniggering hysterically, their heads twisted around backward, and their reptilian eyes glazed with exhaustion. Jaina allowed herself a smirk, then returned her gaze to Duman Yacht.
"Perhaps you have another Voxen to amuse us?"
The Yuuzhan Vong glared down and, much to her surprise, smiled. "That would be foolish, don't you think? I see why the War Master is so determined to destroy you Jedi." He motioned a pair of guards over, then thrust her into their arms. "Know that we are done playing, Jaina Solo. If you try anything now, the consequences will be fatal."
"Perhaps." Jaina smiled back at him. "But not for us."
The comment drew feelings of alarm from many on the strike team, but Jaina knew by the sudden darkness under Duman Yacht's eyes that she had said exactly the right thing. He turned away, already calling for the star reader to plot a faster course to the rendezvous.